Happy weekend, gamers. Welcome to the On Tabletop Weekender, the ender of your week. At least that's what we think, anyway. No prize this week. No, wait! Don't go anywhere. This week, I'm relying on your love. I want to feel your love. And we're going to try and give YouTube a little bit of grief here. So if you can, come across, hit a like. Apparently now, the secret to YouTube juice, whenever YouTube is shadow banning and suppressing and stuff like that there, because we talk about war and games of war.
Well, that's this suppressed.
That's
then.
This one suppressed. We have no choice. The moment we say anything related to the stuff we love, you know, the algorithm picks it up and goes, this ain't going anywhere.
It goes into club style.
So it's it's imperative. It is absolutely imperative that you share this video with people that you don't like. Share this video with folk that might like it. So don't just share the video. Well, just share it.
Warren, are you asking us to have our viewers video bomb their friends?
Wait, video bomb your friends.
Is it share it or is it like it or is it like and share it? Well, what is it they need to be doing?
Oh, God, it changes every week.
Which dong are they dinging today?
Right, so here's what we think happens, right? If you've never subscribed to the channel, subscribe to the channel, okay? Please do that. It's really important. It'll do nothing, but do it anyway. Then there's a little bell. We call that the dong, and we'd like you to ding the dong, okay? Dinging the dong, in theory, should alert you whenever the Weekender comes out. It won't. But that's what it's supposed to do, okay? Finally, like. Smash that like button, because we're totally lit, okay?
Fine.
So smash that like button. And then apparently the most important thing that you can do is share the video. Just share the video and say to whoever it is, yo, dude, I'm going to do a role play here. Yo, dude, we have been friends a long time. I respect you, and I know you respect me. Here is an awesome video for you to watch, which will only slightly lower your respect of me.
What are we sharing after that?
We share the nipples after that. And then that's it. Video gone now. So it's...
Right, we've shared nipples. We're screwed.
Yeah. So yeah, no prize this week, but we're relying on your love, gamers. We're relying on your love. If you have never commented on one of these videos, I implore you. We want to know who you are. We want to know what you think. You know, we're all about what you think. Everything we do is only 50%. The other 50% is what you guys think. And it's always been like that. 10 years we've been at that. And 10 years we've been saying the very same thing. We want to know what you think.
Warren, 11.
11 years we've been at that, and 11 years we've been saying the same thing. Well, I was saying it for 10 years. The first year I was saying something different, but then it changed. No, definitely, please, if you've never commented on one of these videos, stick a comment in there. Let us know who you are, because this is about us getting to know our community, and we know a lot of you folk will watch and maybe never post a comment or whatever, but come across to beastofwar.com, log into your account, post a comment. Because we remember the usernames, and we build up that connection with you guys.
Even if it's something as simple as your mother's maiden name.
Yes.
And the name of your first pet in school.
Yes, you know, and the last three digits of your... never mind.
That went somewhere.
Or if you're sitting there thinking, my goodness, Ben looks like a friar this week. Yeah.
So Ben is ill, and as anybody that knows Ben knows that whenever Ben's ill, he reaches for his comfort top, okay? Yeah. And his comfort top happens to be that one. And when he puts that on, he's renamed to Brother Infectus. Yes.
Yes. Brother Infectus, how are you feeling?
Ben, how are you, man?
There we go.
You're not feeling very well, are you?
Not particularly, no.
No.
My goodness, he's very quiet.
Well, Ben, you'll be glad to know, okay, that because we know you're trying to get away, I will make this show extra long.
I've realized how much news I put in the show immediately as I started looking at this. So, yeah.
I don't agree.
Did you know that the anniversary of the Battle of Hastings is coming up, Justin.
Yes, Jerry knew that.
So, Justin,
I trust Jerry to know those dates.
Right. So,
it's
Justin,
not like these two had a conversation or anything.
Okay. So here's a question for you. Yeah. Okay. So the Battle of Hastings, right? Yep. Which ancient king and which Caesar fought in the Battle of Hastings?
I don't remember because I was taught it in second year of high school.
Well, have a guess. Which king and which Caesar?
Not a clue.
I can smell.
I can Google it.
I can smell. No,
I
no,
could
just
Google
guess,
it.
Guess.
No, I don't know.
What? You don't know how to guess?
I don't know the answer, so how can I guess whenever I have zero baseline?
Because but, a guess like,
what
is
am
not,
I, what am
guess
I meant whenever to sit here and say Paul Daniels and Boris Johnson?
That's well, not
Paul,
far.
Well, Paul Daniels wasn't a king. I don't think he was a queen either. And who was older than Boris Johnson? Caesar?
He is a defecto. He is linked to royalty, so he probably
he is.
Yeah. Hey, Boris is.
Yeah, he is.
Is this how he gets away with having kids all over the place?
Yeah.
Does he?
Let's, on Wikipedia. Under Wikipedia on Boris Johnson, it
Boris
says
DeFeffel
children
Johnson.
Five or six.
Oh, five or six? Well done, Boris.
Based on current estimates.
I love that. We don't really know. It's five or six.
Yeah, the Battle of Hastings is coming up. For Justin's benefit, it was Hannibal versus Caesar, and they fought in Thermopylae.
It's good times.
South of Hastings. They called it Hastings because it was in the general area of Hastings at the time.
Okay.
One of the main events in Hastings was whenever an arrow penetrated the eye of a war elephant, and then that war elephant went on a massive rampage and actually knocked down the Houses of Parliament.
I don't know.
In those days were actually located in Bristol rather than London.
I don't know why more people...
That is historically accurate.
Warren's kind of like an organ grinder and I'm the monkey. You know, he's just down there turning the hand crank.
But with such some epic stuff, I don't know why more people aren't wargaming it.
I have a question, right? So the Battle of Hastings, I love... Do you know what? If you just go back and watch all of Beast of War's past history when we talk about battles, and pretty much in every one, I'll say, it was the definitive battle. But the Battle of Hastings was a fairly definitive battle because it was the point when we went from Saxons to Normans, yeah?
Yeah.
So we turned French.
Very much so.
But we were French Viking rather than just French.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the Normans were Norsemen, so yes,
yeah.
That makes
yeah.
sense.
But at Hastings, they had French on the right,
Jokers
Bretons
on the left.
On the left, and Normans in the center. So even though we would go French, and French, they seen themselves as three very distinct
types of French.
Types of, well, yeah.
Peoples. Yeah.
It was our first time being led by a... We're not going to say it. Not going to say it. Don't want to have to beep it.
Be led by what?
We all know.
Do you want to
what William was. Wait, first time we were led by a conqueror.
Not the other word. Yeah.
Yeah.
A bastard.
Actually, if it's used in its proper context, you don't have to beep.
Oh, you don't have to beep that. No, because there's such
that's
a thing
great.
As a bastard file.
That's when we started being led by a bastard, and it's never stopped since.
Okay, that one you might need to beep.
Okay.
Because it's out of context.
Look, half the planet knows how that feels. You know?
Yeah.
We are the 99%, folks. So, yeah. Right, so the Battle of Hastings.
Yes.
1066.
1066.
Mm-hmm. 11:05 almost.
Wasn't it 10-6?
So that was the last time that Britain was invaded, wasn't it? I don't think there's ever been an invasion of Britain since. Everything else has been repelled.
That's an interesting question, isn't it?
I don't think
Spanish. Do you mean actually landed on?
Do you mean succeeded?
Yeah, yeah. A successful invasion. There has been no successful invasion since the Battle of Hastings.
Yeah, that would be right.
No, there was invasions, kind of land-based invasions, but there was none that actually toppled the monarch that I know of. Certainly the Vikings never did. They raided rather than invaded.
No.
They, you know, maybe what took over York or something, but...
Well, what was left afterwards? Because that was the end of Viking England, essentially.
That was it, yeah.
The Battle of Hastings was that transition then?
Because the last Vikings had had their ass handed to them for just like weeks before, or days before.
Days before, just up north.
The Battle of Chelsea Football Grounds.
That's it.
Isn't it? Yeah.
That's the one, yeah.
So the anniversary is coming up. You guys are working on an article or something for it, are you? Or?
Yeah, Ben's very cleverly went, I'm going to do a quick article on it, just saying, you know, it's the anniversary, it's coming up. You could write something about gaming. Uh-huh. And I looked at him and went, yeah, I could write something about gaming. And I'm starting to sit there and I'm going, how would you game that?
So what is specific about dull. That battle? Yeah, what's specific about the Battle of Hastings that would... that if you were going to model it as a war game, what do you need to take into account? Was it basically just two big armies in one field?
It was two big armies in one field-ish.
With a big hill.
The problem is the Anglo-Saxons sat on the top of a very big hill and didn't really come down it. So you've got one static enemy being attacked by a French enemy a lot. So there's two ways to do it if you want to do it as a historically accurate model. Mm-hmm. And that would be to drop back into hex and counter. So you actually have three lines of Anglo-Saxons and then you've got your bubble lines.
Here?
Yeah, that's not far off it.
Yeah. So Harold sat on the hill.
He literally sat on the hill.
And just sat and waited.
And then waited while the French sort of bounced off multiple times. So reinforcing your lines works best if you're playing it on a hex map.
Yeah.
Because then you can see where something weakens and you can push other people in. What I was looking at potentially for something like Hail Caesar or any sort of element-based game is to throw something in there. There's accounts that the French cavalry retreated. If you listen to the French historians... or rather the Norman historians. So there were a couple of bishops who wrote William's history more or less at the time it happened. So it's a little bit skewed. But they said that the two cavalry retreats weren't retreats. They were feigned flights. Mm-hmm. So depending on who you read, it's either a retreat or it's a feigned flight. And at one point, the Anglo-Saxons broke ranks and chased them down the hill because they thought William was dead and the cavalry were retreating. And that broke the shield wall that was pretty much impenetrable. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're going to play it as a big battle game, you have to read my article to see how I'm doing it.
Because this had been going.
I'm still writing it, so you don't know.
This has been going on for quite a while, you know. Yeah. Horses charging in, going away, horses charging, not being able to break this wall.
It was almost 10 hours of sort of a continuous battle.
They had a lunch break, apparently.
They had a break in between. That's how long it went on for. It was from sun up to sunset.
Right, lads, take
debris
five.
Debris had to be eaten.
Yeah. You know? it was going to get runnier than you'd like. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, Battle of Hastings, guys. There you have it. Right. In terms of massive conflicts, we have two campaigns, one finishing, one about to begin. Mm. The Infinity campaign for Asteroid Blues is ending tomorrow. Monday, October 14th.
Tomorrow is Sunday.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow. Monday, mm-hmm. Day after tomorrow. So if you if you're in that campaign, time to get your battles in, guys. Yep. Okay.
Technically, we're closing on Tuesday. We're just giving you a couple of extra hours just to make sure everyone gets their last reports in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So any big last pushes or whatever from any of the factions in there, get them stuck in.
Do it this weekend.
Mm-hmm. And then on October 28th, we are launching the Flames of War Global D-Day campaign.
Yay.
We've got first images of the map there. So if you click on that, you can start to see where the battle's going to take you. So mm-hmm. There are three tracks. Whenever you come to place your game, you can choose which track that you're going to follow. Mm-hmm. And then each week, three locations will open and the previous three will lock.
Yeah.
So
that map you're looking at, for example, is where it's going to get to.
Yeah, so it's pushing inland from... Mm-hmm. The beaches or the airdrops.
Yeah, which ties in perfectly with the PDFs and things that they've already published and sent around clubs and stuff. So it all ties in really well.
And then is this all of the Normandy beaches on the one map here?
Well, this is the they're not the beaches. Okay, this is as you start to go inland and work your way.
Oh yeah, but I meant for the better coastline we can see there.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Normandy's a big place, so
yeah.
It's launching October 28th. So get your armies ready. And be ready. Now, remember, it also works. On one of those tracks, I think it's one of those tracks. One of those tracks, you'll also be able to
play tanks.
It's either one of those tracks or all of those tracks. But you can either log results from your games of Flames of War or log results from your games of tanks.
Mm. As one person was asking, they started doing Soviets with the Slow Grow League in June. So clearly, this is Normandy. But they were going, what do I do for this? I was going, well, quite simple. You're filthy allied.
Yeah, you're
so
allied, yeah.
With your other filthy allied friends, you just pick whatever track you're going to go down and you rock your results in there and absolutely. Click the allied button.
The Soviets are in it. You know, you can play as a Soviet in it. You, but ultimately, the way the scores finally work is it's broken into Axis and allies. So allies are British, American, Soviets. Axis of Germans. So... Mm-hmm. Get stuck in. It'll be immense amounts of fun.
Yep, and it's going to last for 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Cool. We're going to do updates every Tuesday. That way, if you're playing at the weekend, it gives you time on the Monday to get your battle reports and stuff in, and then we do an update on a Tuesday.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, let's break into some news. Ben, what is going on in the world?
Cool. So the first bit of news comes for Age of Sigmar. We've got a little bit of a teaser of what's coming up for the Ozzyark Bone Reapers in a little bit more detail. So we learned a little bit more about some of their characters that are going to be leading the way, your lords as they were. So we've got to look at two more, just as a sort of like a refresher on the Ozzyark Bone Reapers. These are guys that are molded out of bone by Nagash's Grand Alliance of Death to create almost a mockery of the Stormcast Eternals. And you can kind of see that in the sort of way that you've got these characters to here. So you've got the Liege Cavalos there, which is the sort of lead sort of commander for your force. That'll be sort of your generic one that you could name however you wanted and having leading the way into battle. And then we've also got a named version of one of the Liege Cavaloses. We've got the Arch Cavalos Xanthos as well, who was a grand assassin within the armies of the Ozzyark Bone Reapers when he was in life. And then in death, he's been reforged into a new general, as you can see there. Leading the way to almost do what he calls a purification of the realm of Shaiish. So he's trying to make it an entirely death-filled realm with no mortals in it whatsoever. Some interesting ones there. A little bit more Marmite for those people that want to dive
that
into
exactly
Age of Sigmar.
Exactly the word that had come into my mind. I think I think that's the most Marmite army that I have seen to date. I'm trying to think of another faction or whatever that would be as Marmite as that, but that to me is probably the most Marmite of all of them. I think you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it.
If I tried licking any of that, I'd be like, it'd be the reaction of Marmite for me. It'd be like,
That is the most sinister of all leaders on the grounds that he's left-handed.
Oh, that is.
Yeah. It's not often you see many of those. Uh-huh.
He's a demon.
He's not right.
But he's very complicated.
No, it's left.
Hit him with a hammer.
Yeah, this is what's grabbing me about this is it's a very, very complicated mini, isn't it?
Mm. It's stuff full of skulls.
I'm sorry, Ben. I'm trying to look at it and I just can't settle on anything.
I only see two skulls in the whole thing, Jerry.
All the internal is all skulls.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, I can see
that. That's all right, because we established that skulls are
skulls
cool.
Skulls are cool. Yeah. Skulls are cool.
In the same way that if you want to make a papier-mâché doll or model or something, you need to use chicken wire.
Obviously, the name Ossiarch is derived from ossuary, which is a storage of bones.
So I have to say, I kind of quite like these.
Do you? What do you like about them, Justin?
It's a very different take on an undead army. Normally you think undead army, it's just bones. Basic skeletons, maybe some zombies and stuff shambling about.
Yeah, skeleton horses with a skeleton guy on the back.
Whereas this, it's...
A skeleton horse with a skeleton guy on the back.
No, but it looks like, whenever you look at this, it's not just a skeleton. It's basically they've taken...
A skeleton and put him in armor.
No, they've taken multiple different skeletons from different people, different species, and reforged it together into something new.
If only we have somebody here to go, I heard you like skeletons, so put skeletons in your skeleton.
Here's my issue with that. Mm. I don't think it's obvious enough. And I think if you made it any more obvious, it would look crap.
I think it's a little bit more obvious when you come to see some of the troops that we've seen in the past, where it actually looks like it's a bit more like Wraithbone that the Eldar use, where it's kind of been forged into sort of a lot more sleek lines. Yeah. I think here I think people are seeing this as a busy miniature, and I think it is busy to a certain degree, but I think it's mainly because of the way that it's been painted as well. I think the sharp highlighting a lot of stuff there and that kind of deeper shading to it kind of adds a little bit more to that kind of weird mind state that you get into when you look anywhere. You're like, I'm not quite sure what I'm looking at or what I'm focusing on. Yeah. But I was saying in the article about this when these guys came out, I actually think they're going to be a really interesting and fairly simple army to paint when it comes to it, especially with the new contrast ones, because a lot of the work is basically just do bone and do a block color for the armor, and then you can go in and do a little bit more detailing if you want to. But effectively, it could be quite an easy one to get stuck into, really. A bit like looking at the sort of Necrons and stuff, the new Necrons they've done and that kind of thing for the last edition of Warhammer 40,000 and into 8th as well. I think it could be an interesting one for people. So,
well, there you have it.
Where's that? Where's that ghost goddess Sith Holocron? Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Yeah.
It's not right.
Moving into 40K news. Big, big weekend for 40K, this one.
Yeah. And we're going to be going nuts.
The Adeptus Sororitas.
Sororitas.
Nuns with guns.
Sororitas.
Nuns with guns are here, and their army set has been revealed. We've been looking at the art for a long time, and now we actually get to see what's in the box.
Yeah.
Now, is there a vehicle in the box?
That would be the Penitent Engine.
Yeah. The Penitent Engine.
There is no Rhino, etc. in there.
Ah, yeah. Disappointment rises. Because all the talk of there's going to be a vehicle in the box, that's a walker.
Yeah.
It's not a vehicle. I wanted to see a vehicle. I was hoping to see some kind of like a rhino.
Well, technically it is a vehicle because you travel around in it.
It has a pilot.
One person does, and I'm not sure if they travel or if they're plugged in.
Yeah, there's
hung off it.
There's something he's kind of stuck in there.
Well, that's what's not in it. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on what is in it. What's your thoughts, Ben? You like what you're seeing?
I actually quite like this. But we've got in here, as a sort of rundown of everything in the box, you've got a Canoness who's leading the way, which we've seen before. We've got the Battle Sisters themselves, and there's a squad. Got a Sister Repentia, so the lady with the whips that you'll see later as well if you scroll down the page. You've got the Seraphim, who are the Sisters of Battle in their jump packs. And then you've got Arcoflagellants, which are a new thing that we hadn't seen until now, which are very, very cool, based on the old, well, obviously the background of 40K, but also anyone who remembers, I think it was Damien from the Inquisitor game, the 54mm game, based on that model, which is very cool. And we also got the Repentia Superior and the Penitent Engine as well, which is pretty awesome. So, yeah, some really nice stuff there, I think, model-wise. I think they look a lot better now seeing them fully painted in this way. I think a lot of people were looking at the renders and a lot of the stuff that we'd seen computer generated, and maybe it wasn't, you know, ticking a lot of boxes for a lot of people. But I've seen a lot more people who've been saying, now I've seen them painted, I'm actually starting to really like the stuff they're doing for the Adeptus Sororitas. Yeah, a very cool, interesting new box set that comes with the codex in it when it launches in November. They did also say that... this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the Adeptus Sororitas, and they are actually going to be adding a lot more stuff in the future. So we're going to be seeing things like the Rhino that we got a little bit of a teaser of a couple of weeks ago, some of their other vehicles and stuff, you know, the massive organ on the back of it and that kind of thing, and hopefully some other bits and pieces too. So we'll see lots of additional elements for the actual Battle Sister squads, some of their special weapons and that kind of thing too as well. It'd be very cool. And one of the other interesting things is it looks like a lot of the stuff we're going to be getting in this set is monopose, apart from probably something like the Penitent Engine, which probably has a couple of interesting tweaks and twerks to it. Then beyond that, I would imagine we're going to be getting some sort of proper multi-part kits in the future as well, but we shall see.
So these will be push fit then, I would imagine.
Possibly. Yeah, there's one last note in that article is you've got a last chance to order some of the old sculpts as well.
Old sculpts.
Yeah.
Now that was from the start of the week, and it was one of the things that came up last weekend. So they may not be available today when you're seeing the show. You'll have to go and check. If you're getting quick before Games Workshop do their updates at about 10 p.m. Sorry, not 10 p.m., 10 a.m. on a Saturday, maybe you'll be all right.
But here, bring up the old sculpts and then bring up the new one just to see a little bit of a contrast and compare.
Okay.
Right, so the old sculpts,
old school bolters.
Yeah.
The storm bolter.
Old school bolters. They got the first of the new style of bolter that they then modelled all of the new plastic bolters off.
Ah,
so they're not old school bolters. They're not the ones that you would have seen on the original Space Marines.
I see. It looks very similar to the ones that you would have seen on the old Clippy Marines.
That's the Godwin pattern bolter they have. Because I know this because it was sculpted all by Jess Goodwin.
Okay.
So,
right. So bring up the new one then.
Yeah. I want to say the storm bolter though is vastly overscaled there.
No.
It just looks huge. It just looks huge.
That is the size
of a storm. It's just being wielded by a normal
woman. Yeah, the new ones
are down the bottom here.
No, go to the close-up.
I've only got a close-up of this.
Yeah.
She's not as fat as the old one.
Was the older one heavier?
Yeah, you don't see that one. The old one, her torso was like that thick, but then it was sculpted by Juan Diaz. It wasn't a Goodwin sculpt. They brought it in afterwards, but she was huge. Yeah. She was massive. There's not a huge difference between them. There were actually 28mm arcoflagellants before.
Yeah.
Sisters had them in the last edition.
Do you know what? They're nice.
This one looks like it's kicking a football.
Nice
enough
model. Show
me the football kicking one.
But
you mean this one?
I mean that one. I've seen people have superimposed the football on that base,
yeah.
And it looks great. He is just leaning back for a shot.
Stay with that,
uh-huh.
Because this is where I want to get to. This is the part of 40K I really dislike. And it's interesting.
The body horror?
Yeah. I really don't enjoy that part of 40K. And it's my own thing. You know, I enjoy the Space Marines and stuff that I can understand. But once you start going into all that
But they probably were
and space weird wings. Stuff. Yeah, but while they're in their armor, I can understand it.
Yeah, but what if they were in armor and you couldn't see all the gribbly bits? Are you okay then?
Yeah.
What is it you don't like about the gribbly bits?
I just find it odd. I don't know what it is about it. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying there is something about that part of the 40K universe, that imagery of the 40K universe. This is your Blanchy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That I find really, really odd. And I don't gel with it at all. This whole weird flesh over stuff, you know, kind of
bionic implants.
Yeah, I just find it it's either the most uncomfortable part of the 40K universe or the least interesting part of the 40K universe to me.
I don't know. I think the idea is that they kidnap children and go, you're going to be a Space Marine now. And then they fail to be a Space Marine. They go, you know what?
I'll flush you down the toilet.
Just mind wipe them. And they just turn them into servitors. So all these nutbags here, these are the failures of the Imperium. Every time
so they're all them, the failed kind of Space Marines.
Turned into code-worded killers, effectively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is your child.
Do something with them because you're not returning them to their parents.
This is your child-friendly faction.
Yeah,
right here.
That is true.
It totally is. Yeah.
It's like that ad you sent me. There's an ad kicking around. It came in on Facebook with Games Workshop doing that ad about coming in and have real world battles and it's all kids and it's all fun. And they keep cutting to these videos of 40K video games. Death, destruction, blood.
Slicing heads off and
screaming for the Emperor.
Well, the Adeptus Serritas have been revealed. It'll not be long now before they go up for pre-order. Mm-hmm. And pre-order this week, we finally have dropped the Blood of the Phoenix box set.
Yeah.
a big box on a price to match.
Mm. How much is it in terms of Bandai collectibles?
It's two Bandai collectibles.
Wow, that's a lot. We should just start doing all pricing.
So this box set.
It's got vehicles.
We don't often talk about price because it's very subjective for folk, but I got to talk about it on this one. So in UK pounds, this box set is 140 quid.
Christ alive.
Hold on, is that RRP,
RRP.
Okay. Right?
So that is 140 quid. It's $300-something in the States and probably in Australia about, what, $10 million or something like that. Yeah.
That is absurd.
So it's the most expensive of the boxes that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
It has the least amount of models that they have ever produced. But the least amount of models of these box sets.
Well, it's got vehicles, though.
You're making a saving against buying them all together. You're making a saving of about 50 to 60 quid.
Have you had them all in the workshop cart, then, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I was just totting it up. My figures are rough figures, but this is basically... basically there. You would normally make a saving of somewhere between 70 and 80 quid, possibly, on some of these boxes. So slightly less of a saving, slightly less models, and a price of 140. I was a bit shocked whenever Tom told me the price of it. Yeah. I said, are you sure? Because I thought all these boxes all kind of rocked in around the £100 mark. Yeah, I thought that £100 mark was your sweet spot. But no, it's £140 as far as I'm aware.
I have to say, I'm not overly enamored with some of the sculpts they're doing in here either. Well, like, yeah, it's dynamic, it's new.
I like it. I like Jinzar.
Yeah.
I like it. Dude, the sculpts are beautiful. There's not, like, the contents of the box are superb.
I prefer her
pricey.
Over him. Because
I like
that.
But there's a illustration of Drazar, Master of the Blades, where he is spinning. Have you watched Troy?
I love Troy.
Right. So you know the bit where Brad Pitt is fighting the Hulk?
Boagrius.
And they're in front and he does this thing where he's spinning, and as he spins, he's got a sword in one hand and a spear in the other, and he spins and then he plunges it into him.
He sticks it down into his neck.
Whoopsie.
There is a drawing of Drazar like that, where he's turned, he's spinning, he has a sword in each hand. He almost looks like a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Somebody took one of the incubi, just the standard incubi that they've released ages ago, and sculpted that, converted that model. Mm-hmm. So he's leaning, he's turning, he's spinning, he has blades in each hand. He looks fantastic. The only thing he doesn't have is these ridiculous horns that they've added.
Yeah.
This is very static compared to that guy's
conversion.
And you look at that and you go, where's he got the idea from? He's got it from the GW artwork. Why did they not mirror the artwork? They've done it with Jinzar. They've given her quite dynamic artwork or dynamic sculpt where she's leaping and stabbing. But they've gone, I'm just going to have him standing on a huge bit of terrain. That's how you know he's a hero. He's got his huge bit of terrain under him.
Yeah.
And it's a bit depressing when you see what other people have managed to do with Games Workshop models and a hacksaw. That they could manage to get something that looked really dynamic, whereas they've gone, we're going to tool this to make him stand on the biggest bit of terrain we can find. It's kind of sad.
Ben, what's the plot of the Blood of the Phoenix? Do we know?
So as far as I can gather anyway from what they've included in some of their community stuff is that it's focused around the clash between Jinzar and Drazar, because they are rocking up together and they're getting into a little bit of a sort of like what would you call it, like an ultimate showdown, I suppose. Tet-tet-tet. It would be. Yeah, because obviously Jinzar is who she is. She's one of the mighty Phoenix Lords of the Eldari race. And Drazar is known for wanting to cut down Aspect Warriors and steal their soul stones for himself. And so he thinks the ultimate prize in doing so is to take the one owned by Jinzar herself, as you can see here. And so that's where that kind of Blood of the Phoenix idea and title comes into the mix. But this is very interesting, because this is then going to lead into what's happening with the wider campaign for Psychic Awakening, with the book which is going to also come out this weekend called Phoenix Rising. And this is all about that sort of that clash and that sort of expanding on that, but then also bringing together a whole bunch of extra stuff for the Eldari and the Drakari and the Inari. Lots of E's in there. Where we're seeing the entire of the Eldari race effectively coming together in a way to try and defeat the second coming, but it's probably the third or fourth, fifth billion coming of Slaanesh, who's coming to steal all their souls, effectively.
Well, when it comes to Slaanesh, there's always a lot of coming.
There is a lot of it. So everything's going to be sort of tying together. There's going to be rules in there for making your own craft worlds, your own witch covens, your own sort of weird Drakari scourge pirate privateer armies as well. And there's also going to be rules for tying everybody together to create your own singular force for taking on the forces of chaos as well. So it'll be really interesting to see how that kind of campaign and narrative plays out within the actual box itself, and then how that ties into Phoenix Rising as a whole going forward. Because obviously, if Drazar's out, you know, for blood and soul stones and all kinds of things like that, are things going to sort of end with him, you know, buddying up with Jinzar and being like, you know, let's have bygones be bygones. Let's be friends now.
I think at some point Corandras arrives and sticks the head in him.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Can I see the rest of the box set?
Yeah, yeah. So we've got some sculpts here as well. Mm-hmm. So we've got new Banshees.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
They look Similar to the old Banshees.
Yeah. Not a complete renewal there, anyway. That's. I think they're hard plastic as opposed to the previous ones, which were metal and field cast.
Oh, so everything in this
will be
hard plastic.
What else we have here? We've got the Phoenix Rising book that Ben was talking about.
So the actual contents of the boxes themselves. So you've got Janzar and Drazar.
Yeah, go way up to the top and we get a picture because there's a contents there.
There you go.
Right, so what have we got in there? Couple of vehicles. Right, so you've got one, two, three vehicles. Do you know what?
It's Scourges, a very elite Helions, force, isn't Incubi, it? Et well, yeah, everything there is pretty much focused towards being elite. A lot of people have been saying, where are my guardians? And it's like, well, go and buy one of the other stats, which don't have guardians in them.
Yes.
And,
go and buy, start collecting Eldar, which contains nothing but ghost warriors and wraith lords and war walkers.
Yeah. It's basically the Iandan stuff. Yeah. So.
Well, there you have it, guys. That's the Blood of the Phoenix. It's up for pre-order a little later this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Why not head across to store.ontabletop.com and put your order in there, and we'll get them for you and wing its way to you with a bucket of love from me and Justin.
Justin licks 50% of all boxes sent out,
and I kiss the rest. So you'll love it.
This is just because I want more toys. I tried to claim them as my own.
Okay, next up we have a bit of Flames of War news, more Flames of War news. This is some more German releases coming out for D-Day. What do we have? So we've got the transports, Ben.
Yeah, so this is a whole bunch of extra German stuff that's coming out for Flames of War and D-Day, because obviously the rest of October is going to be dedicated over towards delivering a lot more of this German stuff to the tabletop. After this week, I would imagine you're probably going to have a hell of a lot of stuff that you need to actually play any game, to be honest. I'm just going to go, I don't understand what any of these things are, so I'm just going to read off the titles.
Do
you
want me to run down them, do you?
Yes.
Jerry can give us the rundown. Okay.
So we've got the SDKF Z250s and the 250 Scout Troop variant. These are shorter versions of the half tracks, so you'd normally see like 251s. That's
just kind of like a half track,
like a third track, a quarter track.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
do the maths. They hold less people, but they means they can be a bit more nimble, and they were used for sort of reconnaissance more than the actual troop transport.
Yeah, boy.
Okay.
You can shuffle on.
Well, you have the Scout Troop.
Scout Troop is just a variant on the 250.
Okay. Yeah, we said that.
Trip.
We have Panzer IVs
apparently arriving again. Mm-hmm. I think things have shuffled at some point in there.
Mm-hmm.
Past the SDKF said 10/4, so that's a anti-aircraft gun, not armored, so it will go away very quickly, but it's got a big gun on it.
What chassis is that? Is that the normal half-track chassis that they then stuck an anti-aircraft gun, or is that the half-track chassis?
It's neither. They call them prime movers. They used to use them to tow artillery pieces into positions. So the SDKF said 10 is, I want to say like a 5-ton half track or a 7-ton half track. They're you see them occasionally with like the Malter half track, which is a troop transport version. You'll just see like row upon row of seats on the back. But yeah, they're not the armored ones that you would see in general.
Gotcha. Next up we have the swimming pool.
Yeah, the mobile wagon. So it's a anti-aircraft gun mounted on a Panzer IV chassis. So they would drive them into position and then deploy, essentially drop down the wings. And it means you've got a flatbed to walk around. So you've got a full 360.
Here's the thing.
It's like something that Thunderbird 2 would drop on.
It's good, isn't it?
Here's the thing, right? I've watched a bunch of war movies, both new and old. I've watched World War II in color. I've watched World War II documentaries. I have watched tons of that shit. I have never in my life
seen this. That's in the mobile wagon.
This is awesome.
It is. It's good. It's not.
And it's even got an umlaut.
It's not the best. I prefer the armored ones that are completely. I mean, all that really is that's a wooden frame. So whenever they drop that, that's not armored. So that's really just to protect it while they're moving the gun into position. So they've only got an armored gun shield to the front, which means they were still quite vulnerable, which is why they replaced them with, if you've seen the little, the Ostfins and the Verblevins with the, like, the little hexagonal. The
octagon kind octagon of thing. Yeah, yeah.
Because that meant they were more protected because it was so actually armored.
What's it protecting them from? Branches and things like that?
When yeah, it's just a move. Yeah, literally when they're driving into position, it's just to protect the gun and the crew on board because they're just sort of bouncing around on top of a tank. But it's not actually armored, so.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible.
What do we got?
Right.
Armored Reconnaissance Company, so more 250s and some tiny fighting men's to go with it.
That's fine. Them. What's next?
Oh, more anti-tank, so 5cm guns, so not as punchy as the 7.5s, but relatively small, so you can get them into interesting places. Probably. Some of those can be towed by the 250s as well, so you can actually bring them with your reconnaissance troops and get them up the board.
Well, for me, I'm going to have to get myself some of the mobile wagons. Mobile wagons. They're awesome. Okay, right. Next up, we have Cephalofair Games. Cephalofair Games, Gloomhaven Expansion. Ben, as the world's number one fan of Gloomhaven, take it away, man.
Okay, so Isaac Childress, who's the designer of Gloomhaven, which is an absolutely massive box that doesn't fit onto any shelving that you could ever buy. It's impossible, but it's an amazing game, but it has a hefty price tag to it. And so what he's decided is that he wants to try and create a game, a version of Gloomhaven that has a little bit more of a casual and easy to get into option, effectively, for people to want to play Gloomhaven. And so that's where Gloomhaven subtitle, which is not the actual subtitle, but Gloomhaven subtitle, as everyone seems to be calling it on the internet right now, is going to come in. It's going to have a little bit of a smaller price tag to it, around sort of $40 to $50, which isn't too bad. It's going to contain four new characters. So you've got the Valrath Red Guard, the Inox Hatchet, the Human Necromancer, and the Quatril Demolitionist, who you can see there presented in some of the artwork. And instead of it being a like the traditional Gloomhaven, where you basically just pick where you want to go, pick a number on the map, and you play that scenario, there's actually going to be a little bit more of a guided experience for players. So it's going to be 24 scenarios included in the box rather than the something like 100 or whatever that you get in the main one. And there's going to be 12 introductory scenarios and then 12 after that that sort of allow you to go off and do whatever the hell you want. Everything you get in the box is going to be entirely compatible with the traditional base version of Gloomhaven. And you can take your characters from there and do and play through all the rest of the campaign in that if you want to. But this is effectively just them looking at the whole Gloomhaven experience and saying, hey, can we get this out to more people so they can enjoy it without having to go out and buy like $150 worth of game or something out there. So, yeah, very, very cool. I am a big proponent of Gloomhaven. I very much enjoy it. I really like what they've done with it. It's sort of a Euro take on dungeon delving. And this game is very, very cool. And hopefully it'll be out sort of mid-2020. 2020 next year, so we should see. But yeah, very, very cool indeed.
Happy days, looking forward to it. Next up, Jerry, you're going to love this. Otherworld Miniatures have brought Beowulf and Grendel.
Yeah, not based on Ray Winston, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah, which is
a shame. Ripper.
I love that. Yeah. And I think Angelina Jolie made a wonderful Grendel's mother in that. So
that is what they were telling me. That's all historically accurate as well.
Absolutely.
Colorized footage.
Yeah. There's your Grendel.
So this is Beowulf and Grendel, who have been designed based on the artwork for a book that is coming out, a game book that's coming out called, it was a game book that was on Kickstarter, and now it's out for general release called Beowulf Beastslayer. And it's a game book where you can try and refight the fight against Grendel, Grendel's mother, and the rest of Beowulf's life in a different way, which is very, very interesting. So you can see how you can sort of take things in a unique path if you want. But these models have been done by Otherworld so that you can use them in your tabletop games as well. And as well as that, they've also been showing off a few more of their anti-heroes because Otherworld Miniatures do a whole really awesome range of dungeon delving stuff, both for their fantasy skirmish game and also whatever you might want to use them for. So D&D, Pathfinder, for example, as well. Even a little bit more your traditional sort of HeroQuest and advanced HeroQuest stuff as well. Maybe a bit of that kind of thing. So you've got Evil Sorceress, who may have taken some cues on dressing from Maleficent.
I was thinking Strictly Come Dancing.
You do watch too much of that. Though,
Lloyd, we have to sort you out, man.
Intervention.
You've also got the female anti-paladin there, who maybe is in the sort of fluff for this. Maybe she's been bonded to
Vulcan or a bit Romulan to me.
She does look a bit Romulan, yeah. Maybe bonded to the evil sorceress and the pact with her dark deity or something like that. And then you've also got the Devilkin warlock, who is my personal favorite from the group. Sort of an interesting sort of almost a little bit more of a demon-y take on a tiefling from D&D 5th edition and 4th edition as well there, sort of brought to the table. And I really like what Otherworld do as a whole when it comes to their miniatures. I love their sculpting style. It manages to take a lot of that kind of like old world aesthetic for stuff and then sort of adds a little bit more of a new sort of twist to things as well. And they paint it very, very nicely. I've picked up a couple of their metal miniatures for use in Frostgrave warbands and things like that. And they've come across very, very well indeed. And it's an expansive range to go and dive into. So if you're doing anything to do with dungeon delving, you might want to go check out what Otherworld are doing over there. So
on the topic of dungeons, sticking with it, Atlantis Miniatures, this is very exciting news. I'm really looking forward to this. They are going to be producing a range called the Fighting Fantasy Legends. Really check out these sculpts, man, because they are beautiful.
Yeah, so Atlantis Miniatures have been doing a lot of stuff in the past that people will be very familiar with, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in detail in a minute. But they are teaming up with the guys behind Fighting Fantasy to create a range of Legends miniatures through Kickstarter based on a bunch of the iconic illustrations from those game books. The ones that they've been showing off so far are previews from a lot of the stuff from Death Trap Dungeon. I can't remember what the other one's called, but it's mainly focused around Death Trap Dungeon here. So you've got Mungo, who is one of the pirate characters there. We've got Throm the Barbarian, who could be one of your allies as you delve deeper into Death Trap Dungeon. And there's also Sour Belly and Fat Nose, who are the two troll guards that most people know from the illustrations as well. And one of the key things here is that they've quite literally taken the artwork from the game books and tried to make it as effectively as pinpoint as possible when it comes to making the miniatures here. So you'll even see the sort of weird bandy legged design to Sour Belly and Fat Nose there. That is carried over straight from the artwork that you see in the books and stuff. And I think they look pretty good. We have had a couple of people saying that maybe these are, you know, a couple of the Beasts of War crew, a couple of the On Tabletop crew here. I'm not going to name any names.
It's very harsh. I can't believe what they've said about you, Justin.
Hold on.
I quite like how they've
Wait, let me just cut between two cameras for a sec. Maybe.
Try the other one?
There is a similar
No, we don't need to try the other one.
I quite like the, he's kept his Heinz 57 variety shield as well.
Yes. All in perfection, Justin. And I tell you what, Justin, go back to Throm. Because my heart throms when I look at Throm. Look at that.
You're the blood of your enemies.
I'm going to kill you. Give me your gold.
I can't wait to see them do Skylord. Oh. Skylord, unusual alien fighting fantasy book.
One of the cool things about this, as I say, is that they've shown stuff here from Death Trap Dungeon, but they've also shown a cut off a couple of color renders, sort of in very grainy small format of some of the stuff from Warlock of Firetop Mountain as well. So there is a lot of stuff out there. They did actually do some very limited releases of the resin miniatures at I think it was Fighting Fantasy Fest, which was I believe a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. So they are out there in the wild. So maybe we'll see some painted versions of stuff very soon.
Go up one.
Right.
Oh, can you show us that?
Yeah, I can show you that. I clicked on through one of the links here, Ben.
All right, yes.
That's the Blood Beast.
Yes.
I love the Blood Beast. I was going to say at the start of this segment, I hope they do the Blood Beast.
They are not clickable.
Right, scroll down a wee bit more. What else do they got? Oh, they've got the Biscuit Men. What are they called? They're called the Happy Rollers or something like that. The Bay City Rollers.
They're not wearing enough tartan to be the Bay City Rollers.
These are awesome.
Thanks, Fat Lloyd.
Oh, I reckon Fighting Fantasy flipping RPG could come back and completely dominate the market, take over from D&D 5th edition. We don't want any of that. We just want Fighting Fantasy advanced.
I'm actually dying to play some more Fighting Fantasy.
Okay. Last piece of news. We have Needy Cat and Atlantis Miniatures have teamed up.
Yeah.
For what?
So, as we were saying, Atlantis Miniatures have quite an expansive range of miniatures right now. They have goblins, orcs, dwarves, and a huge amount of different monsters that we've looked at in the past and drooled over. So they've got like minotaurs, werewolves, all kind of things like that, which are really, really cool. They're now working with Needy Cat, who you will know worked on a whole bunch of games in the past. So they've worked on things like Hellboy, etc. and things. And they're going to be making a new skirmish game using the Atlantis miniatures range as a basis for it. So they actually demoed a little bit of it at an event that came out, I think it was last week, maybe a week and a half ago, and they're now basically been showing off the game in a little bit more detail and talking about it over the next coming weeks. So they're going to be delving into a little bit more detail about how it all works mechanically and stuff, but the main focus is going to be around sort of warband focused fighting, where you're going to have a real strong sort of like point towards campaign based play and narrative and that kind of thing, but they're also trying to tie it into just sort of pick up and play games as well. One of the cool elements they have talked about already is that there's going to be a deck building mechanic in the game. So when you come to the game to start playing it, you'll build your force, and then you'll also build a deck of cards that will give you special abilities and that kind of thing as well. And that deck will be used so for you to play out your heroes and stuff like that on the table and use their troops and their special abilities and that kind of thing. But it also means that they'll be able to tie in lots of other bits and pieces as well. So it'd be very cool to see how they do that. There'll be sort of like basic decks, which will come with each of the starter warbands, and then you can sort of tweak and change things as you like as well. But as I said, they've got quite an expansive range over there at Atlantis. So you've got orcs, dwarves, goblins, and all those monsters and that kind of thing. They're also working on a bunch of stuff, new stuff as well, which would be kind of cool to see how that comes to the table. They did, I believe it was their wood elves quite recently on Kickstarter.
It was beautiful.
So they were. So there's some really amazing miniatures that a lot of people have in their collections, maybe haven't used for a lot of games. Now you've got an option to go and use them for. So yeah, very cool stuff coming out of these guys, and hopefully we'll be able to keep up with everything that Needy Cat talk about when it comes to talking about the game and the mechanics and that kind of thing over the next couple of weeks.
Fantastic. That wraps up the news, guys. Okay, let's move on to the Kickstarters. Now, we have a Kickstarter coming up. Our buddy Brian over at Anarchy Models.
Yep, it's already live.
Is bringing out some more...
It's his high-speed stencils.
High-speed stencils.
He's got
the HS stencils.
Yeah, he's got the two variants. So he's got the high-detail ones,
yep,
which are a thin film with a sticky back that you can lay down on your miniatures, then peel off and re-stick down to its original sheet and get multiple uses out of them. And then this, which is his high-speed ones.
Yes.
So
this is a fairly robust material. You hold it over the top of your miniature, and then you airbrush through it.
Yeah, I actually got the chance to sit down with Brian and have a quick chat about it, if you want to take a quick swipe.
Hey guys, I am joined by Brian from Anarchy Models to have a quick chat about his new Kickstarter. So, Brian, anyone who doesn't know you, do you want to give them just a very quick intro as to who you are?
My name's Brian Best. I own Anarchy Models, and we're probably most well known for the range of airbrush stencils that we do for the wargaming market.
Mm-hmm. All right, now you've came back to Kickstarter for, this is your third Kickstarter, is it, or fourth?
This is the fourth one, actually. Mm-hmm. We did one for our sticky stencils, the HD system, mm-hmm. And we've done now, this is the third one for the HS stencils, the reusable, mm-hmm. washable stencils.
All right, well, we've got your Kickstarter up on screen, so do you want to maybe give us a little bit of a guided tour of what you're bringing to people this time?
Okay. So this is just the main page you see when you land on our project. Mm-hmm. Scrolling down tells you a bit about what we're doing. Got some videos here.
I remember these.
Demonstrating the use of the stencils. Further down, it explains the HS stencils, what they are. Mm-hmm. So they're washable and reusable. They're transparent, semi-transparent, so you can see through them to help you place them. Mm-hmm. They're washable and solvent-proof, so you can use them again and again. Thin and flexible. They're not sticky, as our HD stencils are sticky. Mm-hmm. They actually stick onto the model. They're very quick to use, and they're very easy to use. Mm-hmm. And you would normally want to use them with an airbrush.
Mm-hmm. Now, so the key to this is whenever you come to Kickstarter, it's basically looking at what new designs can I bring to people? What new ways can I let them, have stencils to actually put cool patterns down?
Yeah.
So the next thing we're seeing here is your new design list, yeah?
Yeah. So if you scroll down to here, this is all the new designs that are currently unlocked for the this Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. We have some more geometric grids, mm-hmm. which people always like. We've also got a lot of the creature feature designs here. Mm-hmm. Those are very, very popular indeed. And even though we've added to that range last Kickstarter, people still want more. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a few more here. And even the unlocked ones, the creature features too.
I see.
So we'll be adding even more later in the campaign.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's scroll on down because you do have pictures of some of them on here as well, don't you?
Yeah. So here we have a size comparison between them. On here, we have two different sizes of stencil. We have the micro stencil here on the right, which is a very tiny detail stencil, which is just the one size. And on the left there, we have the normal HS stencils for this campaign. Mm-hmm. And many of the other original ones, you get two sizes in the set. Mm-hmm. And they're just a bigger version of the same thing.
Yep, gotcha. All right, well, let's quickly sling on down through here because you do have quite a few of them here.
Yeah. So here's just a comparison of some of the new ones to mm-hmm. our original mottled stencil, which is very popular. So here's a size comparison. These were all sprayed at the same time on the same piece of paper. Mm-hmm. I just cut the bit out here to put the name in. So this is an exact size representation of the new stencils. Mm-hmm. So scrolling down, this is the tri-grid. Mm-hmm. This is the micro size. And you can see that the size of the dimensions of the stencil actually on the picture here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the inches on the left, centimeters on the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. And we do a large one as well, which you'll see in a minute. Mm-hmm. This is the micro brickwork.
Yep.
Just, you know, again, sizes are there for putting bricks on your terrain or onto mm-hmm. your bases or something. This is the negative hex mesh. This is a new one. We've done it where you spray the hexagons on before. This is you actually spraying the grid on. Mm-hmm. So that looks quite cool. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of the actual stencil. And there's another picture of the in use there. Mm-hmm. This one's actually the freebie sheet from the last campaign, but people that weren't around get a chance to buy it now. Mm-hmm. Last time at Kickstarter, people kept asking to want to buy the freebie sheet, so we added it in before, so we're doing it again this time.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have the larger tri-grid. As we can see, it's very interesting to look at. When you look at it, you see squares and you see triangles and you see diamonds, and it's quite psychedelic almost, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and while we've had you over this time, you and me have actually sat down to do a few tutorials on how to actually work these stencils onto miniatures, which we have in front of us as well.
Yeah, so we'll have a look at those in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have the less mottled. So this is the same size as our original mottled, only less dots.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a picture of the stencil there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new blotchy, which is a much more random pattern. Mm. And a bigger brickwork. And even bigger mottle. This is very large creatures. Mm-hmm. And we have a picture of the stencil there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the micro blotchy. And I believe that's it for now. So the rest of here are not unlocked yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll be more creature feature ones.
Yeah, so basically it's just more ways to basically enhance your miniatures.
Yeah, and as we can see from the videos, which will be being released at some point, and you can see from the videos that are actually on the Kickstarter or YouTube now, if you just search mm-hmm. Raniki models, they're very fast to use.
Yep.
So you can get a very, very complicated looking effect in very little time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like we have some of the ones, some of these we have worked on this week, some of them we haven't. But you can instantly see just how cool the patterning is on these. And for this one, we did lighter ones on the top. And if I roll this big guy over, gently, Justin, you can actually see that we've also done darker ones in below. So even just changing from light to dark can really change the effect you're going to get with these.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to do them difference on each side. We just did it just to try the colors out. Mm-hmm. But you can do a variation in size as well. If we look on there, we've used three different sizes on the wings, as well as the different colors, just to see what they look like. You know, and just do some tests and stuff on something else before your main model and try the color scheme out. Sometimes the color scheme doesn't work. Sometimes the dots are too close to the base color. You don't really see them.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you might think it's too stark and you might want to have it closer to the tone.
Yeah. And then we also did one of these as well, which is an Eldar flyer.
Yeah.
And on this, we actually experimented with just the different scales and the different directions that we could bring the pattern in from.
Yeah, normally I always fade things from the front because that's how I like to do it and that's how I've always done it. But on this one, we've actually done it from the back on one side. Mm-hmm. It looks quite cool. And I think it actually looks quite cool in a combination there. Mm-hmm. Some sort of aura going on around the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another one we did with the hex grid, if you push it across to me, yep, just so I can reach it.
This is the negative hex mesh.
Yeah, and then this is from the guys at Antonos at his workshop. So this kind of makes like an energy shield look to it.
Yeah, so this one I've put on quite sort of randomly almost. Like the field is kind of flowing and just flickering into existence in certain places, mm-hmm. Rather than trying to do it too even. Mm-hmm. But then on this other one over here, I have done it sort of much more even.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll quickly take him off his flying, yes.
And,
don't worry, I won't break your mini.
It's all right. So yeah, it's much more even there, but it still looks cool as well. So you can do it either way.
Yeah, well, I mean, like it's nice to have extra tools that you can add to your painting toolbox.
Yeah.
I mean, like these are really, really strong because if I grab one of these, let's say I grab one of the mottled ones, right?
Yep.
I'll put it under close camera here and I'll show you just how much I can bend this thing over and around. Now, I'm not going to go 90 degrees, but I can basically go really, really tight. See how tight that goes before you really feel the resistance in there.
Yeah, if you actually put a crease in it, then it will put a fold in it. But you can bend it back again. Yeah. But that is pretty tight curve. You'd be unlikely to need that on most models.
But I can actually feel the resistance in that whenever it's about to go.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to put the crease into.
They are super flexy, but it wants to stay flat. So it's going to flick back to flat again. As long as you don't put a fold in it and score it like you would when you're trying to fold a bit of paper.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, the only question then is, how far can this one go? How many designs do you have in the background? Or are you still building it as you go? I mean, could people throw ideas into the comments?
We have a few more. Obviously, there's three more here that I've mentioned that aren't unlocked yet. So we've at least got those. I've got another few ideas that I might bring in depending on how far we get. Mm-hmm. But also, if people do have ideas they want to do, we can possibly even fit it into this Kickstarter. Mm. It depends on how complicated the design is.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's a good idea and it's doable in time, then we can fit it in.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, everybody, I'll tell you what. Myself and Brian will head on here. We'll get back to the main show. Thanks for taking the time to watch. Make sure and check out the Kickstarter. It's a really great tool set to use. Brian, thanks for coming in.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for watching.
All right. See you in a bit.
So we have Brian in the studio. He's going to do some demos. And we've locked Justin in the studio with him, hoping that some of Brian's expertise rubs off on Justin.
I'm going to be honest now. I did not pick up an airbrush.
Yes, but did he rub off on you?
Okay. I sat and I talked through some of the different techniques that he was using and why he was doing certain things certain ways.
Could you replicate it?
Badly?
Well, it didn't have to be goodly. I'm just wondering, can you do it? Do you reckon? Do you know enough to be able to do it?
If I scroll down to a specific one here, if I was trying to do something like this, I would say, yeah, I could probably do that pretty easily.
That's kind of nice, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're going past all the cool stuff there.
Yeah, I love the way that
I already showed it off with Brian in the interview. So
I love the one of the great things about these stencils is you take a model, you're airbrushing white through the stencil, right? Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, it looks okay. And then he puts an ink through it and puts the ink over it.
It just
comes to life.
One of my favorite ones that he brought along with him this time was the brickwork one.
Yes.
Because you can actually do sort of, you know, plaster that's broke off with the brick showing underneath with some cracks. Uh-huh. And he actually takes us through and shows us how to do that.
It's a really, really interesting product, guys. So head on over to the Anarchy Models Kickstarter. It'll be in the show notes below. And stay tuned because I believe imminently now we're going to be publishing those videos where you can see how those stencils are used. Right, next up, we have Mob Sitters by East Street Games. 18 days left to run on that one, Justin.
Yeah, and if you'll remember, you actually talked to these guys at UK Games Expo this year.
I did.
I am loving the idea behind this game. Just, you know, the way some games, they have a perfect concept that just captures your imagination and you just want to sit and play and have fun with it?
Yes.
This is one of those for me. So it's not funded just yet at the time of filming, but the whole concept is you are playing a babysitter, right? Uh-huh. Your employer, however, is a very legitimate business person.
Right.
Extremely legitimate to the point where they're a mobster.
Okay.
And it's a social game for, I think it's two to like eight players. So you can get a big table of people going on this one.
Uh-huh.
And each round, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be playing your job cards. And your options are you can either do the job you're paid for, the babysitting,
yep,
and earn like $50. Mm-hmm. Or you can maybe steal from the mobster and earn something up to maybe $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can maybe do a job for the mobster, you know, destroy some evidence, hide a body, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
However, if you're playing the higher risk jobs, your opponents can play cards where they're telling on you to like either the cops,
snitches,
or the... Yes, yeah, snitches.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I don't care if they're a teenage babysitter.
And snitches.
Yeah. But it's a super light game. It's one of those games you can just throw into your backpack and just start playing within a few minutes of reading how to play it.
We have the press preview here. Can we have
We do, because there's some really nice artwork on these.
Yeah. So let's get a cracked open there to see what's in the box. So
it contains tension wrap.
Hey.
You can play with that, that'll distract you.
I need to spray it red, man.
Contains a box.
All right, so we've got some of the cards in here.
Contains an envelope stuffed full of cash. I'll be opening that later.
Okay, so instruction manuals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't need to read that. Justin's all right, done all the heavy reading.
So the key components are within your envelope.
Uh-huh.
Well, within the box, you've got your multiple decks, which are colored and backed differently for each player. So you each get essentially an identical deck that you're playing from, right?
Yeah.
You then get your player boards. So if you pop one of those in there for me, Jerry. And there are three locations you need to worry about on this player board. So there's the three cards you're going to play each round.
Yep.
You have your boss cards, your cop cards, and your safe cards.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody plays a snitch card for a boss, it'll go into this pile, right?
Yeah.
Someone does it for the cops, it goes into this pile. And if I get away with it, it goes into here.
Mm-hmm.
The way the game works is, at the end of the game, you total up who has the most boss cards. How many times have they been snitched on to the boss?
Yeah.
Whoever has the most is knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
You then do the same for the cops. And then you go to the last one. Whoever has the most cash from their safe cards wins the game.
Right.
So it's a really quick, light game.
So, and it's a game that doesn't end until it ends. So players don't get knocked out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The game finishes all at the same time for everybody.
The knockout happens whenever you're doing your totaling up.
Yeah, that's a good key thing for me. Yeah, because there's nothing worse in large player games whenever somebody gets knocked out early in a game.
Nobody wants another scythe.
Yeah.
And there's one thing I like. It's not a game where it's just, it has a take that mechanic where it's just, aha, I've caught you playing a job card for the boss and I've played a cop card. You've got these cards as well.
Yeah.
Which allow you to pass the blame to other players.
Oh, you'll love those.
Oh,
they're perfect those are for fun. You, Justin.
But if someone keeps targeting you, and you can't get away from them, being able to pass the blame to someone else is nice.
I'm going to dig through those decks, and I'm going to pull out all those cards, and I'm going to set them on your desk here in the studio, because I think you'll find them very convenient. You'll be able to talk less.
It was you.
Yeah, you just point out, Jerry, it's your fault.
But no, it's one of those games, I think, for the amount that you have to carry about for it, it's very small, very light, perfect for taking to like conventions and things with you and your mates to play in the evenings.
Yeah, yeah.
How long does it last, roughly?
Sure.
Lasts about 20 to 30 minutes.
There's the details there.
So 3 to 8 players, age 8 plus,
yeah.
20 to 30 minutes. It sounds like a great family game, actually. Right, Mobsitters, 18 days left, guys. Great little game to add to your collection. Okay, so for all of you guys that already don't have enough crap in your collection, our last Kickstarter is about to greatly increase the amount of unpainted monstrosities you have.
This one has went nuclear.
Yeah, of course it's nuclear. We're talking Reaper Bones 5. Goodness.
Almost 1.5 million.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, right. They're slow.
So,
I'll give them that.
What have we got, Ben, in Reaper Bones 5?
Cool. So this is, as you might imagine, another mountain of plastic. Sorry, everybody. Another mountain of plastic. And they are doing a lot of stuff that they traditionally would have done in previous Bones projects. So you've got a lot of the fantasy classics in there. You've got a huge amount of options for picking up a whole bunch of their plastic models for heroes, traditional dungeon delving monsters like orcs and goblins and kobolds. You've got dragons. You've got pieces of terrain and all sorts of things like that. But they've also done a whole bunch of a lot more specialized sort of groupings as well. So one of the big ones they've done this time around is a big Greek Odyssey set, which is great for those people that want to try and do something a little bit more on the sort of weird ancient side, which is pretty cool. They've also done one which is really focused towards the idea of sort of like a Japanese theme as well, but sort of Japanese with a fantasy twist at the same time. As we were saying, this is just a ridiculous cavalcade of weird, chaotic, plastic awesomeness. And I'm fairly sure that no one truly understands how this works anymore. But effectively, you dive in and you can pick up as much as you want, as little as you want, maybe a little handful of things, maybe a huge box of things, or in the case of some people, multiple boxes of things that will now sit on your shelf for many, many years and probably never get used. But there is loads and loads of stuff in there, as I was saying. There's fantasy staples, you've got war machines, you've got monsters, you've got a whole bunch of stuff. So yeah, the best thing to do will probably just be to scroll through that page and look at the cool things in there and say what you like. So.
Mammoth!
There's a bridge and a mammoth. What is that?
That's a troll walking through the water.
Under the bridge.
Under the bridge.
Oh, and there's goats,
and there's goats on it. Yeah, okay, right, cool. I'm sold. Billy Goat's Gruff. Yeah. It has to happen.
I really like it. I like this. Their initial bones was just how many things can we make?
Yes.
And it got a bit ridiculous, and there wasn't any. You were literally getting bags of stuff, and you're going, this is thing. I've got
and
some,
to be fair,
I've got some Afro people firing guns into the air. That's not really going to help me with my Kings of War armies. But.
And the quality was so, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, well, the initial one was, can we do this?
Because
they hadn't made anything before in that material. This is a mix this time. So it's a mixture of the new Bones Black, which is a sturdier material, and the original White Bones, which is sort of the flexible stuff. So it keeps that, we can chuck it out. It's quite quick. If you're a D&D player or whatever, you can just scrape into a box and throw it under your bed. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it breaking, but the black pieces are more detailed, more rigid, so you don't have to worry about the bendy, curvy banana swords anymore.
Yeah.
And they've also got the thing where they go, well, there's a dungeon delving pack, so there's literally just an add-on that's for dungeon delving
broken up,
or it's been sort of focused into little
whereas you're before you were going, if I back this I'm going to get stuff, now you can go, I'm going to get Japanese type stuff from my Daimo set, or I can get my dungeon set. So it's still ridiculous, but it's focused ridiculousness.
Yeah.
So it's not as not as bad.
Look, you know,
I mean, I have no interest in the Daimo set, but some of the dungeon delving stuff is quite nice, and some of the monster add-ons are nice.
Yeah.
Being able to go in and go, well, that I don't do any Japanese style gaming.
Yeah.
I want the troll bridge thing. I think
the troll bridge.
Cool.
Was the first thing I see, and I went, that's just great. I will find a way for it.
Look. There's a very simple aspect to this, right? And I have discovered this.
Owlbear without Sean Connery on its back, though. Oh. So that's as good.
Yeah, it's not as good as the Owlbear being read by Sean Connery. Right. I do loads of D&D.
Let's keep the stuff up to us so we can see what we're talking about.
All right. Any dungeon master, right? Anybody that controls a dungeon game, especially if you do it with youngsters, right? You know, after it becomes instinctive, you know that you have to have the most massive collection of random kick-ass monsters that you possibly can. Mm-hmm. And it's for a very simple reason, right? Because young Dungeoneers...
there's a really nice bit just in the middle, and you keep skipping past
right.
The course of the red.
Where? Tell me where. Going up.
No, you
okay.
Keep talking. Up. Stop in that blue bit that you won't let me see.
Yes.
The I Greek thought I bit. Had stopped there.
No, you haven't. You keep jumping over it. It's terrible. you may continue talking about it.
Okay, thank you.
Greek.
Yeah, so young Dungeoneers, right, are cocky little arseholes. Right? They are cocky little arseholes.
Yeah.
So you need to have the biggest collection of butt-stomping monstrosities that you can so that you can smush them cocky little twats the next time that they sit and give that stupid grin where they think that they've got you, not understanding that as the Dungeon Master, I am in control and they only live because I allow it.
Warren, if someone asks you if you're a god, you say...
Yes. What do you think of the Greek stuff, Jerry?
I love the Greek stuff. Even things like the Cyclops there at the start. The Cyclops has got a kilt of dead sheep.
Yeah.
So if you remember the Odyssey, the last Cyclops that Odysseus comes across. It was a shepherd. So when they were trying to escape, they all had sheep pelts on their backs as they just sort of crawled past them. So I like that. That's just a lovely little touch. In fact, he's got some Greek skulls on his neck is quite good as well.
Yeah, and he's using their shields for knee pads.
Yep. Hydra's great. Love the Hydra. I love
Bones is such an obvious thing though for role players to jump in on. It's just the sheer variety of the stuff that you get. Like I can't think of another Kickstarter where you will get that level of variety. Like there are Kickstarters that for board games that are worth jumping into. Because you just get a ton of models that you could potentially use.
You want them back up, Lloyd?
Yeah, we'll go right back up to the top.
To the very top.
No offense to Ben, but I'm trying to look at the minis.
Don't care what you, Ben. Just look at the minis.
I'm blowing my nose right now, so.
All right, so I'm back to the start of the minis for you, Lloyd. Here you go.
That's fine. You can talk away. I just want to be able to see them.
But having that varied selection. Mm-hmm. Right, scroll down. I just want to see, very quickly, the dungeon delve options.
Okay.
Okay, so
we'll hit the first Bones core set.
So this is the core set.
Mm-hmm. So this is $120 of oh my godness. Now this is an interesting one, and I'm guessing they're future-proofing themselves on this, and I imagine other Kickstarters will do the same. UK and Europe are not together in this.
Right.
It specifically goes, if you're back in the UK, we're going to tax you after this, because we know Brexit's coming at some point, and if it doesn't, then, well, unlucky, but we're not going to bust ourselves.
Can't take that on the chin.
Yeah. Scroll up just to the top of that for one
Say
second.
When?
Am I missing something? Is that a giant?
That is a giant.
Is that a 28mm model on the base, or is that a chicken?
That's a turkey or chicken.
That's a turkey. That's all right.
Okay.
Thank God.
Some sort of vulture.
Right, scroll down then. Okay, so there's all your dungeon stuff.
Yeah, lovely. Your usual stuff. You've got Chaos Warriors in there. You've got snake people. You've got elves.
Yeah, we can see, Justin. Mm-hmm. We can see. Keep going. Them.
I like these.
Right, the Boulderkin.
Boulderkin. I was looking at those.
I have to get the Boulderkin.
They've even got a set of little mouse warriors.
I'd noticed you'd
spot. Of course they do, Ben.
The mouselings.
Yes. So that, to me, the Boulderkin and the little rat dudes above it are the most interesting part of that pack. Keep going down.
What I like the scarecrows.
Got? Scarecrows are cool. Kid Heroes, yeah, love that.
Yeah.
And then a handful of spell effects, and then you've got Catfolk in there as well.
There's
actually
more spell effects, I thought you would have known, because there's things like, you know, flying fists, walls of thorns, walls of brickwork, all of this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got your golems in there.
Kid Heroes too.
Keep going down. Dreadmare, Loathsome Trolls. No, there's very few individual sculpts that are jumping out at me to make me go,
oh,
that's an amazing miniature in its own right. But I tell you what, as a collection of stuff, it feels like it's
a dire cabbage.
Good God. Okay.
My most feared monster of all time. Please, no. No, DM. Why?
Vitamin C and fiber. The only thing that can stop it, Justin. And that's not even, there is a specific dungeon delve pledge, which is a little sub pledge. That's just the core.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, guys. So, 21 days funded, as you would expect. 21 days left to go on it.
We're more than funded, man.
Yeah, get stuck in, dudes. Get stuck in. Okay, so thank you very much for watching. Remember, last week we were giving away Operation Wildfire. If you head on over to the Claim a Prize form, they'll bring it up on screen, how to get to the Claim a Prize section. In the prize center, you'll be able to see winners, see if you're a winner, and the form is in there to make your claim. Mm-hmm. Other than that, join us tomorrow for XLBS. I have a huge, huge regret. I'm going to discuss it tomorrow on XLBS.
Did you get it pierced? Did you?
not quite, but I have a regret of a similar nature. So tune in tomorrow for the XLBS. That's the extra long bullshit version of this show. So come across to ontabletop.com, open an account. You'll get a 7-day free trial. Plug in. Come on over. Show your support. Get stuck in. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Big thank you to Ben and Jerry. Thank you to Justin, to Lloyd, and most of all, thank you to you guys at home. Have a great week of gaming. We'll see you soon.